Welcome to another episode of Message from Mom, where we're breaking down the myth that mothers-in-law aren't necessarily monsters-in-law. And I'm joined by my lovely co-host, who happen to be my daughters-in-law. And to the left of me is Kelly.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I am married to Beth's oldest son, Alex.
And to the right of me is Chelsea.
Hi, I'm Chelsea. I am married to Beth's middle son, Andrew.
Okay, ladies. Well, we have a great topic today, and it is, what is it? Okay, that's right. Later in life career, which I think we can all chat about. But before that, we are going to have a toast because we know that you don't have to be a blood relative to love your relative. So cheers, ladies, to another episode.
Cheers.
Okay. I realized last week I didn't sip my cocktail. I think that's
bad luck.
I know.
I did notice that too.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad luck.
So I'm correcting myself and my bad ways. So, but I really do like this topic today. So this is later in life career, mm-hmm. but I think each one of us can speak to this. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea, you're 34.
Yeah,
I'm 65, and Kelly, you are 47.
Seven.
So
I'm like, at a certain point in time, I'm like, how old am I? I feel like you stop counting.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait.
I'm just anxious to get to 50.
You're anxious to get to 50.
I am.
That's actually, I mean, we can kick this off because for me, that was when everything kicked in for me as far as a new chapter, mm-hmm. a second life or a second career, I should say, not a second life, but a second career, because when I was 50 and we were living in Shanghai, China at the time, both Andrew and Alex were off at university and Christian was still in high school, but I was going to turn 50. I was celebrating my 25th wedding anniversary. So it was like these big milestones were coming up, mm-hmm. and I could see with two off at university, it was like, okay, well, what's next? What's next for me? Yeah. Because I was so blessed to be able to stay home and raise the boys and follow Mac all around the world with his career. But it was the first time that it was like, okay, I need to switch gears. And so what am I going to do? And I will share. So Mac used to just howl with laughter because I would basically be like lying on the kitchen floor like, what am I going to do? It was like this momentous thing, like I had to make a decision right then, like, you know, like I didn't have a great life, but I was paralyzed because who was going to hire me after a 26-year absence? I mean, my resume had a very big gap, and that's what I was concerned about, because I did know that corporate America does not value your time spent raising three men who are out there paying their taxes and, you know, being a positive impact on society. They don't care about that.
Well, I think for me too, I mean, because I've switched careers many times, and obviously, you know, I'm just 34. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's even later in life switch career, but middle life. I don't even know if I'm middle life.
You're not even in midlife yet, girlfriend.
But I feel like I have those moments all the time where I'm like, what next? What am I going to do? What, you know, I even sometimes, because I do real estate, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I do that pretty full time, and I even question that sometimes on a daily basis. I'm like, is this meant for me?
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I love it, but I think we all have those moments for sure.
Right.
Well, I think you definitely, like, you're in the generation that has really changed from, say, Beth's generation or even partially my generation. I'm kind of at the end of it, but the idea that you have to stay at, you get a job, a career, whatever, and then you stay there until it's retirement time. You know, that is like so far away from where we are now. So it makes perfect sense that, you know, at 34, you've already kind of switched gears, you know, what, 3-4 times, something.
Oh, I counted how many jobs I had last night.
Well, how many?
Because like,
since you graduated,
I knew that we were
university, which
no,
what are we talking about?
Well, since I graduated university, and then I also did count my high school jobs because I had two jobs in high school they were pretty consistent.
Okay.
I have had 16 different jobs.
Wow.
Now, I would not say 16 careers, right? I would say careers, I have had two careers in, what is that, 14 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, I mean, it's been...
Yeah.
I've definitely had some jobs, and I've had some bad jobs, and I've had some good jobs. One time I worked at Edible Arrangements for 2 days.
Oh, 2 days.
not that's, a keeper, huh?
That's
not
a record. Not a good one.
I don't even know why.
Did you get a paycheck? Did you?
I actually don't know. I
might not have. Yeah.
Well, the guy basically, I started, I think it was like the day before Valentine's Day. And then the guy left me alone to lock up the day that I started. And I came back home and I looked at my mom. I said, I'm not doing this. Like, what? Anyways, I was desperate times call for desperate measures. Yeah. But
I do. Well, I think actually that's an important thing too. And being able to switch gears and do what you have to do to pay your rent, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that can't manage their way, you know, to do that. But being humble enough to, you know, take a job at a fast food place or, you know, something that you don't see yourself doing forever, but needing to do, you know,
totally.
I think those are important lessons. And I think you can learn something really great from every crappy job, you know, you've ever had.
Oh, 100%. And I think I got that honestly from my mom. My mom kind of grew up in that generation of, you know, you
one
keep a job for a while. And I'm so glad that she's ventured out of that because she's now has her own virtual assistant company and she has, you know, 10 plus clients and she's thriving, you know. And I think that's really where her strong suit is. But she worked at Publix for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously has a great retirement because their benefits were excellent and are still excellent. But I just remember she hated that job, you know, and like she stayed with it because it was very much like, okay, we're going to do this job and we're going to keep with it. But and it, almost to a fault, I learned that a little bit from her because there have been jobs where I've stayed maybe a little bit too long.
I've definitely had those also.
Well, and it is good to have that skill to switch gears because and we brought it up several times already and I will just chime in because your loyalty to a company is so different these days than when, like, like Mac, my, you know, my late husband, when we were, you know, building our castle and he was going off to slay the dragons, it was so common. You were very loyal to your company and you didn't think about switching.
But they're
gears.
Never loyal to you.
No.
Is the thing.
Exactly. And I think that that was a very pivotal point is when people did get to see under the hood a little bit with corporations is that we are very dispensable. And since we're very dispensable, then we finally, it got, you know, through our head. So, oh, okay. Well, it's a two-way street then. Then I will be as loyal to you as you are as loyal to me. And so that's the great thing about being able to switch gears.
Yeah.
And I do admire that about your generation. And are you both, what are you both millennials? What are you?
Oh, I'm a millennial.
You're a millennial and you're a
Gen X.
A Gen X. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, much different than the boomer generation. And, but I truly think that that's a great skill to have is to be flexible and to switch gears. And
well, there's a, I think, I don't know what the exact statistic is, but I actually saw this the other day where, this woman was saying that, the people that switch careers, I think it's like every 3 to 5 years now actually make more money than people that stay with the same career because they can level up. And it's not even necessarily leveling up in your career, but you can kind of play different jobs or careers or companies off one another and, you know, end up ultimately making more income.
Yes. Which is to our benefit. And so there again, it's good to be flexible. It's good to switch gears. And so Kelly, so I know you both have very interesting trajectories and as well as I do. So we'll get into all three of our stories. But Kelly, I love your story because you decided to go to university at what age?
35.
35?
Yeah.
And so what prompted that?
Well, I was working in advertising and I was on the, I was an account manager on the kind of executive side of things, and I really wanted to be on the creative side of agency work. So I thought if I want to do that, I think I really need to go to school to get an education in design so that I can actually speak the language and get the skill set and the history behind, you know, all of the things that I want to be able to talk about. So I
I feel like that gives me like chills because I'm like, I'm turned 35 this year and I'm like,
I know
that's crazy. I can't imagine going to university right now, but you know, I think that's amazing.
I was never ready to go to college. Like I got out of high school and I kind of messed around with classes, you know, one-off classes that I was interested in, but I just was never really ready to commit. And it's good I didn't, because I would probably not have done anything remotely that I was interested in, you know, so I saved myself hopefully some student debt from long ago and racked it all up when I was old enough to pay for it, actually.
Right.
But you know, I it's funny because the story changes even after that. Like I do know that, you know, I got a degree in graphic design. But I very quickly then did not go back to advertising and went into something pretty much totally different, but that did require a graphic design degree. And so I shifted into that, was no longer doing actual graphic design anymore. And then, you know, here I am, that was 2013 that I graduated. And so here I am, you know, these many years later and still not really doing graphic design, though the training that I got from that education
helps
me in what I do.
It helps
for Sokka,
so much.
Yeah.
It's a total other step. It's really in the same direction, I guess, but just maybe a little bit to the left.
It's 100%. It's crazy how one skill pivots to another, pivots to another, and how our life does too.
I think all of the skill sets, I mean, they can intertwine.
Yes.
No matter what.
Definitely. And I think, you know, people, as you have a lot of different jobs, and this is what I think is pretty cool about having a wide variety of jobs over time, is that you do pick up lots of little things that can help guide you in your lifelong passion direction, right? Like,
I agree.
You know, because I worked at restaurants, I worked in kitchens, I worked at flower shops, I worked at, you know, natural food store. I mean, I did a lot of
crazy
random things.
I do think it's good that people do that because honestly, that's where you learn your customer service skills. And I think when you meet people, I mean, I can immediately tell if someone has worked in customer service. And even, I mean, I still work in customer service, but I can tell right away. I mean, if you're rude or, I mean, even rude to other people, it's like, okay, you've clearly never worked a job in customer service, because if you had, you would never treat someone like that.
Well, and you would be humble. And I've heard it said that everyone should have at least one job in a restaurant or retail or something.
Totally agree.
That
100% agree.
Puts you in front of the public and you get to see every single
humbling experience.
It really is. It really is. Because one of my first jobs, so after I was 50 and celebrated my 25th wedding anniversary, and one of my first jobs was in retail. And it was at Bloomingdale's and when we lived in San Francisco, and I was the Ralph Lauren specialist, but for the home department, not for the women's department. But boy, oh boy, did I learn a lot
about
people and how they would just come and look down on you because I have a retail job and I'm like, I'm sorry. this is also a great job and I'm providing a service for you. So I never understood
people
that.
People definitely do.
Never understood that.
I think all the time, I mean, I don't know if I would ever go back into retail unless I absolutely had to, because I did work for J. Crew for a period of time.
It's tough.
It's so tough. But
especially in the women's department.
Totally.
Have you seen those dressing rooms after women?
Oh, my gosh.
Throw every single item on the floor. It would be just like.
But I do think, like, I do love fashion. And I'm like, they do get a good discount compared to. So, I mean, I think a lot of when I go into, because I love to go into Anthropology at the Avalon. And I think half of the women that work there truly. I think they just want something to do.
Yes.
Like, I think they kind of want to get out of the house. And I think B, they do it because they love fashion and they want the discount. And I'm like, honestly, I'm here for it because I would totally do that.
Yes.
Anthropology is a good example of two, like, I don't know what the back room looks like, but it's a beautiful environment to work in on the floor. Like that. Stores are just so gorgeously designed.
They are. I walk into any Anthropology and I just immediately get into the Zen zone because they have beautiful, I mean, everything is so beautifully merchandised, and it's not just clothes because they have other items
love
that
all
they,
the home stuff, all the kitchen
the
stuff.
Home. Oh, I love that. And it just smells good. I mean, it's just such a relaxing place. I mean, they are spot on as far as their visual merchandising team. So Kelly, you went back to school at 35. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea, just tell us a little bit about your story, because you did go to university right after high school.
Yep.
You graduated. And then did you immediately go to grad school at NYU, or?
I took a semester off. So I went to the University of Alabama, and I went right after high school. So got my degree in dance and then a minor in business. And then I graduated early. So I wouldn't have taken a semester off, but I graduated December of 2010.
Okay.
So I came back home, and my grad school program didn't start until fall of 2011. Mm-hmm. And then went to NYU for grad school for dance education. And Andrew is always, all the time, he's like, why did you get a degree in dance? And I always look back at that.
Was your passion.
It was my passion.
That was your passion.
And honestly, I wouldn't have changed either way. I would never have changed what I got my degree in, because like we talked about before, I think a lot of the skill set that I have from dance and ballet, and also my career at, or my degree at NYU, is specifically for dance education. So a lot of it fed into their education department in Steinhardt. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it was about dance and obviously teaching the foundation and the technique of dance correctly, and specifically ballet for my path that I was on. But it was a lot about the educational portion of that and how to teach students and how to teach students correctly. I mean, even as far as how to teach special needs students compared to students that are not special needs. And I feel like personally, I think all children should be in some sort of activity growing up, whether it be dance, cheer, soccer, football, whatever their passion is. But I do think that that helps them, you know, later on in life. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's what I did. And then basically came back to Atlanta and did that for maybe like 11 or 12 years. Mm-hmm. And then completely switched.
You did. You did. Because then you went into real estate.
I went into real estate.
But I do think so many of the skills that you learn teaching, because there again, it's connecting with people, it's your customer service skills. So, and that's really what real estate is. Of course,
oh, 100%.
There's a technical side to it, but it really is that relationship that you build with your client.
Well, there's also a discipline side to it too. And I feel like this is my almost to a fault that I talked about, where it's like you stay with something and then you stick with it for so long. Mm-hmm. Because in dance, it's like you're just disciplined to, you just know you're going to go to ballet and you're going to do the bar and you're going to do 5 million tendus and then you're going to come out to the center. And that's just how it is. And then sometimes that goes into your life and you're like, okay, well, maybe even with clients in real estate, it's like, maybe I need to let this client go. You know what I mean? Like maybe we're not equally connected on the same level. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that they're a bad person or I'm a bad person. It's just maybe, we're forcing it too much. Mm-hmm. But switched to real estate and have been doing that for the past, I guess, 3.5-4 years. And now working a little bit with Sokka.
We're so excited. I mean, I'm so blessed, A, to have this career, because who knew? I had no idea that a career in, I guess I'm, an influencer, blogger, I'm a digital content creator. I'm not exactly sure what to call myself, but I had no idea that this career even existed. I got into it. I call myself the accidental blogger because, I'll go back to, it was, when I was turning 50 and having this, a little mini crisis. I mean, Mac was still alive and, had a great career. And so there was absolutely no pressure on me to be doing anything, but I had this brilliant idea that I was going to become a writer. I was going to write a book. And so there's a lot of, funny stories, and the boys can share that with you, because I had no idea how to write a book. But fast forward, I did finish writing that book in about 2012-ish, and we had moved back to the States by this time. And so I had my little checklist out of, how to become a good writer. So, you have to go to a weekly writer's workshop. I mean, it was just like tick, tick, tick. So that's just me. I just like to like research everything. And then I just like to have like a little guidepost. But I'll try to give you the Reader's Digest version. So fast forward, finished the book, snagged an agent from New York, and he sat me down. And one of the first things that he told me, he's like, everything has changed in publishing since the 2008 crash.
Mm-hmm.
First time authors, there is no budget to market you or your book.
Yum.
No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares. I'll never forget. I just remember looking at him. I'm thinking in my head, I just finished that checklist of writing a book and now I have to
but it's true,
create
though.
A new checklist yeah. for, you know, marketing myself. And so he said that I needed to have a social media presence. And there again, I'm like, well, what's that? And he's like, well, you need to be on, because Facebook and Twitter were the two big yeah. things. And he's like, yeah. well, you need to have a Facebook presence. And at the time, it was 2012. And so the boys were on Facebook and they were like, no, you know, mother, do not get on Facebook. You know, that's our territory. Now nobody's over on Facebook. But anyway, in 2012. And I told Eric, I'm like, because I did have an account. I'm like, well, I think I have 5 friends. And he's like, go find some more.
He's like, those are the only 5 friends that are going to be buying this book.
Anyway, go find some more. That was his advice. So,
oh, God.
So I'll switch gears. So that book didn't get picked up. So I didn't have to worry about a social media presence, because all I could think about was, well, what could I talk to? What could I speak authentically to? Because, right. I mean, what do you... No one's interested in like how to write a book. I mean, yeah. I did have my little checklist. I mean, I could have shared that.
But you don't want to like niche right? yourself so tight where, right. you know.
So we had moved to San Francisco by this time. And I was actually working in retail, Bloomies, which really helped catapult this whole yeah. endeavor. And so I was close to finishing my second book. And I was like, this one's good. This one's getting picked up. So I need to be yeah. thinking about my social media presence. And because I was in retail, so this is about 2014 now. I was aware that 20-somethings were posting an outfit of the day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so it was like a light bulb moment. Like I had the light bulb moment to write a book. I was like, oh, that's it. Everybody always loves my outfits. I can speak authentically to that. And Mac, you know, immediately volunteered, my late husband. He's like, I'll take your pictures.
Oh, I love that.
And he was so cute. And I look back at some of our first photos, like, and I can remember the boys like trying to coach us. And we're yeah. like, look, my shoes are cut off. You know, there's a trash can. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing, but nobody was actually like paying attention to us. But that's how everything
started.
That's how everything started. And so I had that presence because it was going to help my book that was going to get picked up and I was going to market it. I had no idea you could monetize or that this was even a career. I had no yeah. idea what an affiliate link was or partnering with brands. And I mean, you know, fast forward, it's 2024 now. And we have a thriving business and a family business. And it's like so much fun, but who knew? And I also, as far as like switching gears or thinking that it's too late for you or, you know, putting an age mm-hmm. cap on anything,
yeah.
I will come along and tell you, because this was 56. I was 56 when this all blew up and had no idea. I mean, I did have a brilliant businessman. Mac was a brilliant businessman. And he guided me through so many mm-hmm. things. And I'm so thankful that I had him for those, especially those, you know, infancy years. But I have just learned on the fly mm-hmm. as I've gone along. And I think that that's a great thing to share with people. It's like, no, it's never too late.
Yeah.
You're building the plane as it's flying.
You are. So it's never too late to go back to university. I mean, Kelly, you were 35. Chelsea, it's, you know, never too late. You love dance. It's still a passion, but it'll always be there. Right. But you were able to pivot. Pivoting's great.
Mac was so supportive. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to be supportive of the people in your life mm-hmm. That do decide to do a later career switch. Because
exactly.
I think that's half. Even when I remember when I switched to real estate, I was like, what are people going to think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was so worried about what people were going to think. And everyone knew me as a ballet instructor.
And
right?
that can paralyze us too.
It can paralyze
us. When we think, what are other people going to think about us rather than what we know is right.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you followed your intuition and your gut and did it.
And I mean, I remember like certain people in my life, some of them were like, why real estate? What are you going to do in real estate? I'm like, I'm going to make money. Like, I want to make a lot of money. Like, what do you
have a roof over my head?
I'm like, I've been in a career where it's been a passion and there's been no money. And I was like, not to say that, like, obviously real estate can be a passion and it is, but I was like, I would like to actually make some sort of income because I feel like I've made no money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. So, exactly. So,
but it's good that they were supportive because I feel like that's definitely, I mean, that's a big part when you are making that move.
It was. It really, really was. Yes. And as I said, it was like so cute. And I look at, especially the first year when we were in San Francisco, because we had that beautiful backdrop, but half of the photos are corrupt because as I said, it's like,
you got to start somewhere.
Right. And that's also too, I'm glad you brought that up, Chelsea, because sometimes you just have to jump into the deep end and you will start to swim. And so don't be afraid to do that. And don't be afraid at any juncture of your life, because age truly has nothing to do
with
anything. But I think sometimes we put those limitations on us.
Yeah.
Well, and also I think it's important to remember too, that like, you may not know what your passion is. Like and I guess this goes with like jumping in the deep end too. It's like sometimes you just have to do something.
Right.
Because that something could lead you to you finding what your passion is, or lead you down a completely different path that you weren't expecting, but that is so much more amazing than
like,
your book.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, although I am going to finish that book.
You will.
I am. I've been saying that for 9 years now.
But it's just a thing of like, you don't have to feel, I guess this is also kind of maybe a way to keep yourself from getting stuck or paralyzed is that, you know, if you just do just something, if you're in a career right now, or maybe you're retired and you want to get out of the house and do something, but you don't know what it is. And you're kind of like, just do something. Like my mom is retired. Yes. She just moved to Georgia actually. And I've been, waiting for the local nursery to start hiring for spring because I want her to go, and she doesn't need to have a job because she has, you know, her retirement and stuff. But not, I think it would just be so much fun for her to get out. And
it is. It's not necessarily about
plants.
It's not always about the money either.
Exactly.
And I feel like, especially at least I know some people that I know where it's like they retire early or, and then they don't do anything. Yeah. It's almost like they do really just diminish.
They do. And statistically, and do we have our producer that can help us Google this? But statistically, when you do retire and you do nothing, your life expectancy drops drastically.
Yes, because it's like your
purpose is gone.
Yeah, the idea of not only maintaining physical health by being mobile and you know active, you have to do that with your brain too.
Yes.
And
so
you know, even just like, I think people talk about like crossword puzzles and like keeping your brain stimulated, learning a second language or something like this. All good ideas.
But
I love even more than some of the more challenging things, just getting out of the house and like doing a volunteer job or, you know, some small job and some thing that you just like to do. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, super amazing or anything, but you know, being a docent at a nature center or something, or at a museum, you know, these are all
100%,
just such great ways to like keep your, keep you stimulated.
Well, and it gets you out of the house and, you know,
interacting with other people, which I think in our, in today's world, we have less and less real life interaction, which is not a good trajectory. Cause I truly believe we need each other. We need our community. We need to be out and about giving, receiving, all of that. But yes, I do think that, and for me anyway, at 56, I was like on such a steep learning curve. Cause I mean, I had to learn everything,
social media.
I had to navigate social media and putting a blog post together. And we started a YouTube channel.
Everything changes constantly.
Overnight.
Well, and
overnight.
For you in particular, like, blogging and the whole idea of being a social media influencer was still brand new for everyone.
It was.
Not just for someone of your demographic.
I know.
So the idea that you didn't pigeonhole yourself into getting paid too little or taking collaborations that were too specific for people of a certain age, or you never like boxed yourself in, which I think is a really huge and respectable thing, because I think there are a lot of women who did get into blogging at that time, that have just kind of languished. Like they might still be doing what they're doing, but they're not growing. You know,
And that was because Mac was such a brilliant businessman, and he impressed that upon me right away. He's like, you cannot put all of your eggs in one basket. You have to be as diverse as possible. You have to value yourself. Do not
That's huge.
He's like, do not let any brand push you around. They'll take everything for nothing. And they do. I mean, I still get emails. It's like, oh, we'd like to gift you this item in exchange for a social media point, in exchange for a YouTube sponsorship. And I'm like, okay.
It's not even just the brands, but also, you know, don't let the followers sometimes.
Exactly.
Because you get haters out there. And I think
we do.
I mean, even just you, but any influencer, blogger, TikToker, I mean, you read the comments and there's always going to be someone that puts a hate comment, whether or not it's a bot or a real person that's doing that.
Exactly.
But
those are real. I don't think bots are out there to be negative.
I don't know.
Okay. So Christian came up with that people that retire after 65 and have a part-time job are 11% more likely to live past 85.
That's all right. That's amazing.
That's a pretty good interesting statistic right there. But I do know that retirement really can be the death knell.
Or even if, I mean, you know, like, I guess even if you are at retirement age and you want to retire, at least having a hobby is nice.
Something. Oh, and that was from the Washington Post. So that statistic is from the Washington Post. So thank you. Thank you, Christian, for helping us out with that. But yes, it's very important to, and I am thankful, and especially because social media changes so fast. We have to be on our toes like all the time because we are pivoting. I mean, look at this. We just launched a podcast, which is such a great and fun endeavor. And, and who knew that was in our future?
Well, let's also share a little bit about a good example of just eventually you just have to jump in. We've been talking about doing some kind of podcast for like 4 years.
We have.
And we just couldn't figure out what are we going to talk about?
That's right.
What are we going to talk about?
That's
we wanted to talk. Remember, we were going to do movies.
That's right.
And we were going to talk about, like, review books and things like that.
That's right.
And we just could never get it off the ground. Right. And I think that was God or the universe telling us.
I wasn't even in the picture four years ago.
I know. You were. You were.
Well, I think there was just this, we never just jumped in and did those things because I think we knew that something more or
better
was
always something. Yes.
Because we weren't just going to, we couldn't just review books and movies.
No, even though,
you could, but
one of my favorite podcasts is The Rewatchables.
Andrew loves that one.
Well, he's the one that turned me on to it.
And
when that year that he lived with me, when he met you, and his whole life changed. But that year we would watch The Rewatchables, and then it was like, okay, so now we're going to, because they would review movies, and they really took a deep dive. It's such a great show. So go watch Rewatchables if you're not. Bill Simmons is great, and all of his co-hosts are great too. But, and then we would actually watch the movies. So I was very impressed with that. So I always, because we do love pop culture. All three of us love pop culture. Yeah. I think we would kill it if we went against the guys with trivia or anything like that over at Christmas.
In certain categories.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
Although if we do
heads up. But that's individual.
Not great at that.
That's individual. We would be a team. We would be a team.
Oh, that's true.
With trivia, you're a team. So heads up puts also a lot of pressure on you because you're up there.
And you turn the phone the wrong way.
Which way do I, you know, which is right and which is right. Anyway, there's like too many things to do, but I mean
to go back to the genesis of the podcast.
Yes.
Like it, and you know, we could have just still been sitting around talking about doing it someday, but you know what, you said message for mom, I got this idea, let's do it. And I was like, yeah, that's right
a great idea.
That one,
it's a great idea. It's so much fun, I have to tell you. It's just been, like, so much fun. And that's when you just really do have to keep yourself open, flexible, you know, as we talked about switching gears. You're never too old to start over. Yep. It's always good to be experiencing new things, new ventures.
Yeah.
Just
not caring what other people think about you, and just do you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, because I think the less you care about what everyone thinks about you, family, friends, followers,
yes,
you know, exactly, then you can start new things like a podcast or,
exactly,
you know, I mean, and at the end of the day, maybe it tanks, maybe, yeah, it doesn't tank,
maybe,
you know, well, you never know, but
we don't know, because what is, I mean, honestly, what does tanking mean? That's only if we, like, I think, put a monetary, yeah, value on it or a follower count. But if we're, if we're loving this and we like to show up every we film this, what, every 3 weeks or so, it's really just kind of a fun girls day,
yeah, yeah.
Out. I mean, Christians, so we do have one male that's on our team too, but it's really a lot of fun. I'm having a ball, and yeah, honestly, because it really is, it's so different than, mm-hmm, what I do on a day-to-day basis with Sokka. And yeah, Sokka is styled a certain age.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, I have a social media channel, styled a certain age, and a YouTube channel, Beth Jalali. But it's so different,
yeah,
than fashion, lifestyle, recipes. Mm-hmm. It's just so refreshing just to sit down and have a conversation, because I will always go back to your community. I mean, you're part of my community.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to, you know, to see what's inside your brain, to have you, you know, mm-hmm, share little insights, mm-hmm, of your life and your experience to date. And also my daughters-in-law, you know, you're just near and dear to me. And it's just so, it's been such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
It really has.
Definitely.
So. It definitely has.
Yeah. So yeah, anything else on a career later in life, or?
I would just want to sum up my own feelings by saying, kind of reflecting what Chelsea said about confidence, and don't let a lack of confidence or fear stop you from branching out and doing something different if that's what you want to do.
I love, mm-hmm, that, because it's so important, because we just paint ourselves in a corner about, oh, what if it doesn't, yeah, work out, or what are people going to think? Yeah. I'm changing careers.
Oh my gosh.
If I was
worried about what people thought. I was a freshman in college when I was 35 years old.
Yeah,
I know, right?
I was older than most of my professors.
Right?
So, like, I mean, if I really worried, and I was nervous, because I was like, oh gosh, I'm not going to make any friends. And I did make friends. Right. They were all,
yeah,
too young to go out drinking, right, with me, you know, on Friday after lectures. But I still made friends, and, you know, I had a great time. And, you know, and I got a lot more out of my experience because I had some years behind me to, like, help.
I think not letting age, you know, justify or stop you from what you want to do, because even like you said, you started, you
56.
Know, and you were 56, and
I had no idea.
But I think so many people today, they really do. They're like, oh, I'm 56, my life's over. And it's, yes, like, is it really? Like,
no,
who determined, no, that your life is over at 56?
I know,
you know,
right? And there really are some people out there that actually still adhere to these very dated rules. And I will even get this, like, what I can wear. Oh, that's so, either I'll get, oh, Beth, you're so age appropriate, which I have no idea what that means. Or Beth, you're so not age appropriate because I'm, you know, I'm wearing skirts above my knee, or I'm wearing shorts, or I'm wearing,
which is crazy to me,
tops. I'm like,
because also some
not?
Of the things that you post, I'm like, oh, that's cute, I would wear that. I'm 34 years old. Like, what?
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always just say clothes have sizes, not ages.
Exactly.
I mean, I just go back to that, because who, okay, so if we are supposed to turn to dust, it used to be like 40, because like when I,
over the hill, remember
over
that?
The hill, it was, they would have these parties with the black balloons, and it was 40, and
which
that was
crazy.
My generation, and then it's 50. Yeah.
I'm halfway to 40 now, and I'm like, in my head, and we've talked about this before, I feel like I'm 27 in my head. Mm-hmm. I might, yeah, always be 27
you
in
might,
my head. I don't
might,
know. Maybe at some point in time I'll jump. But
for years, people would ask me, and I would say 36, because that was just such a, I mean, it was a great year. The boys were somewhat independent, mm-hmm, but I'm, you know, we're still, you know, fairly young family and just a lot of fun things going on.
Yeah.
And yeah, for years I would just, it was like 36.
Yeah.
You know, and I can remember saying that my brother said something one time, but this is probably, it's been at least like 15, 20 years, but I just popped up and I said 36, and he just like looked at me. He's like, what the heck? I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm really not 36, but that's, yes.
That's a thing, though. Think, mentally, yeah, you stop, yeah, at a certain age, I feel like.
I think we do. We really, really do. So, well, I think we're all in consensus that it's never too late to start over. It's
never
too late to follow your passion. And don't ever let people pigeonhole you into a corner, because you might be missing out on the most fantastic thing in the entire world.
Yeah. And you 100%. Might not know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yes. And so, yeah. So take that brave step and throw caution to the wind. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't be like, I'm not talking about being reckless, but following your heart.
Yeah.
I think that that's a true guidepost. So, okay. Well, I think we have, covered this topic fairly in-depthly. So again, ladies, thank you. And we are continuing to bust the myth that mothers-in-law aren't necessarily monsters-in-law.